George Capinelli for another edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're together. We're your wisdom-encouraging hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Our topic, what will you choose? We're going to look at the fact that we're rapidly approaching a time in our world where there will be no sidelines, no places to hide out and pretend that our world is not being challenged as never before. No distractions loud enough, no rationale strong enough. Everyone will be asked to make a choice. And the question is, will it be breakthrough or breakdown? Today, you'll hear the second part of a conversation Sedina and I had with Dr. Roger Teel, senior minister at Mile High Church in Denver, and the author of a really wonderful book, This Life is Joy.
I like that you said, you know, there's no place to hide and everybody's going to have to choose. That's the native indigenous prophecies. Yes. It's time to choose. Yeah. One-hearted path, two-hearted path. Yeah. And we have some one-hearted music interludes today, including Bob Seema, I Am Here. And the title track, Put a Little More Love in the World, Some Imagine, and our special features. George and I will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. Sedina again with an alive and aging strategy. And George will close today with one of his provocative commentaries.
So welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
What's the I behind the I am? Who's the me behind the I through which I see? Am I the watcher or is there something else that's wanting to be seen through me?
I am, yeah. Well, our topic, what will we choose, breakdown or breakthrough? Anyone who's familiar with Age Nation's work and the information Alan and I normally explore on Age Nation Radio Magazine knows that we're living in a time of demographic revolution, a time that will last approximately 60 years. And some say that during this time, half of our population will be over 50 for the first time in history. This is an astounding piece of information, but consider this as well. Although this revolution is just beginning, there are serious disagreements, conflicts, stalemates in chambers of government, boardrooms and institutions and on the streets of some of our cities. You know, indeed, this graying of the world's population is ushering in a time of unprecedented change. For all of us who are passengers on this train called humanity, and especially for those of us who the world calls Gen Xers, boomers, and elders. And this, as they say, is only the beginning.
Consider another startling fact. Our governments, many of our institutions and businesses, and the vast majority of us as individuals are significantly uninformed about and unprepared for the substantial challenges and equally important for the unprecedented opportunities that lie ahead. Perhaps this will help you to understand why we title this piece, What Will You Choose? breakdown or breakthrough. You see, from our perspective, the challenges we just mentioned represent either a recipe for disaster or fertile ground for a historic breakthrough.
The good news is that Alan and I and a number of us, a growing number, thankfully, believe that the time ahead will prove to be a fertile ground for breakthrough. We believe that many of us who are older Gen Xers, boomers, and elders not only have the opportunity, but the time, talent, experience, and above all, the need to revisit and, where necessary, redefine the values and priorities that have guided our lives to date. We also believe that if we're willing to periodically conduct a quality reassessment of who we are, what we believe, and what we're prepared to do, we can contribute to helping steer the ship of state onto a course that promises greater well-being, environmental sustainability, social responsibility, and financial stability for ourselves and those who come after us.
And, you know, I don't like to put labels on people, but let's just for this purpose say, if you are an older Gen Xer, boomer, elder, and interested in living more consciously and aging wisely, as they say, on the right page at the right time, if you're under 40 and want to better prepare for your own road ahead as well as better understand the road your parents, older friends, and relatives may now be on, then you have also come to this right place here. And if you want to use the time you have remaining, whether years or decades, to make right your relationship with yourself and with others, and if you want to connect with greater meaning, passion, and joy, and in the process contribute to a more positive and compassionate future, then this could be a terrific time to either affirm or reaffirm your commitment to living consciously and aging wisely.
In this way, we can all use this precious gift of our lives to harvest the fruits of the past and turn them into gold that we can invest in the present and in the future. For in truth, only by living in each present moment with as much mindfulness and love as possible can we fulfill the dreams we've come here to manifest. We also believe that no matter what religious or spiritual foundation we support or political philosophy we hold, no matter what economic strata we belong to or educational credentials we possess, no matter what we do or have done in the world to earn our daily bread, when we come to the end of our lives, what will matter most to each of us is the knowledge that we have done our best to use this time, skills, heart, and resources in support of a life of genuine value that contributes to the common good.
I like that line, George. Contributes to the common good. You got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
Those of us who weren't born yesterday know, of course, that answering this question in the affirmative will not be possible if we have not done our best to stay the course. Very important. Follow the call of our destiny and to the best of our abilities deal with the challenges and obstacles that fate or destiny places in our path. It's all grist for our awakening mill. We also know that we'll not find our answers if we listen to the seductive call of those who promise easy wealth, continual happiness, the perfect waistline, and the ideal relationship without having to get up off the couch and work up a little sweat. That is ignorance of a deeper truth. Indeed, in our experience, those who believe in free rides or a life free of challenges run the risk of not being able to answer the question to their satisfaction at the end of the game.
Sir, if you're among those who recognize that there is always room for learning and improvement, as individuals, lovers, parents, leaders, stewards of our planet, if you're willing to do some things, both large and small, that are new to ensure a positive legacy for your loved ones and for the larger community, then you're certainly on the path to breakthrough. If you believe, as we do, that you're never too old or too young to learn what you don't know and to fulfill your dreams, you've come here to manifest, then this is your time. And you can contribute to an extraordinary breakthrough for all of us.
All right, here's more I Am from Bob Sima.
Artifacts, possessions, names, they try to tell the tale of me. But I am holding on to thinking there's a little bit more to the story. Well, I know I'm not the name you say, the things I own, the roles I play. I know there's something real. Take away my name, and you take away these things. You're left with only awesomeness, the essence that I came here with, the everything.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio. Harvest the wisdom. Age Nation Radio.
Dr. Roger Teal, senior minister of Mile High Church in Denver, the largest New Thought church in the country, and author of a terrific new book, This Life is Joy. So, Dr. Roger, part two of your book, The Seven Pillars of Truth, is such a clear and profound view of the fundamental premise of what we've come to know as New Thought religion. And we wish we could spend hours. Really, it's an amazing chapter. You've mentioned a little bit about some of these things. I find them to be actually simple yet very profound declarations of truth and awareness that wake you up. For instance, this instant is love that you were talking about, and this being is light. My favorite is deeply, we are one.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
What? Yeah. Well, this instant is love helps us realize that love isn't a commodity out there to get or a relationship to acquire in life, that we are beings of love. And this very instant, all of life is the expression of love. As it says in the Bible, God is love. And so we're realizing that in this very moment, all that there is love. Now, we've gone to sleep to that, and we live in the illusion of separation. And so what the illusion of separation really leads us into is fear. And many, many authors have discussed that really there are two poles, fear or love, and you're either on one or the other of those poles of life. And so this inducts us back into our true heritage and our truth, and that is that all is love. Mm-hmm. And that was the transforming awakening for me in my life. I had a wounding that I write very openly and honestly about. And in being broken, I was actually broken open. And I discovered that the real challenge wasn't I was done wrong. The real challenge was I had a closed heart. And I endeavored to open my heart. And that then leads to everything else in that second section on the pillars of truth. Because when I discovered that I am love, not love's out there as a commodity, but that I am love, then my worldview entirely changed, and I realized every being is a being of light. They're spiritual beings.
Right. Such powerful declarations.
Yeah. Really. And I have to tell you, since reading your book, I've worked with just those few words. Mm-hmm. On any number of occasions when I find myself losing my way or, you know, shutting down for some reason.
And stuck in traffic.
Yeah, whatever it happens to
there
be.
You go.
And I just... I remember the title of that chapter and that phrase,
me
and
too.
I start repeating it, and it brings me right back to my center.
Yeah, something really, quickens within us when we remember that no matter how difficult the situation we're in, how painful it is, this instant is love. There's something here for us.
Absolutely, yeah. We need it, too. This is a time in our world where, boy, it's needed principles like this that are simple, that can really bring us back to our essential truth that we need desperately to get through this maze.
The sad headlines are prayer requests for love.
It's true. It really is
absolutely
true. Yeah. And your this world, you know, is consciousness.
I love that because,
you
know, we again fall prey to thinking our senses tell us what reality is. And our senses just pick up the tip of the iceberg, which is physical expression. But reality, as the quantum physicists as well as the enlightened masters have declared, reality is invisible. It is intelligence. It's energy. It's potentiality. Mm-hmm. And it's driven by love. And we're a part of this non-physical universe. Mm-hmm. And we are not physical beings either. We are spiritual beings, beings of light. Right. Here to express creatively and be a part of co-creation. Yeah. So, this world is a world of consciousness, and we participate in its formation.
And to remember that that all of it, every single aspect of it, is consciousness manifesting in this kind of designed conceit that allows us to learn and to grow is such a critical reminder.
And having been made in the image and after the likeness or nature of the divine, which is creative consciousness, then we are endowed with the capacity to form ideas and to anchor those ideas and to energize them and participate in this co-creative process, which is what that chapter, This Idea is Substance, is all about.
Yes.
It's how ideas are the building blocks, the genesis for creation.
And in which we get to literally mimic the divine.
Absolutely.
And co-create with the divine.
Just remarkable stuff. So
it's wonderful.
In the second, the third section of the book, you know, where you talk about the portals.
Yes.
And there too,
You know, there are so many that we could spend our time focusing on, and as usual, we wish we had several hours to conduct the conversation. But this friend is fear. Fear is friend.
This fear right. Although maybe friend. It's both. Yeah.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah. Well, fear has been a bugaboo, and many people feel shamed whenever they're afraid. And I wrote this to see the naturalness of fear, that because we're growing beings and things are changing, there'll be times when we're afraid. But that doesn't discredit us, nor need it disempower us. That fear is actually a friend. It's a cue from within us reminding us to return to love. Mm. It's reminding us to open our hearts. It's reminding us of all of the truths that part two is about, and to stand in those no matter what it is we're facing, whether it's a risk, whether it's a threat, whatever the case may be. And so fear is actually a friend calling us to our higher state of being.
Yes.
Right. I hear that what I keep hearing over and over, and I felt when I was reading the book, is that you're taking everything that's a challenge in our lives and you're turning that around and giving that to us as our ally and as our empowerment. And, oh my gosh, that is just huge.
Because we feel inferior to some of these things in life that I write about, whether it's fear or problems, judgment, either ours or others, conflict, disease, uncertainty, change, desire, risk. Often we feel less than in the face of those. And the truth is that those have within them transformational opportunities for us, no matter what they are.
So when you say this change is birth, you're articulating that so well. Talk a little just about that.
Well, nobody loves change, especially when it's upsetting the apple cart of what they've put together in their life so happily. Mm-hmm. And yet the way of life is change. And so this is an opportunity for us to re-embrace change and flow with it rather than resist it. Some people swim upstream in the river of change, and that only makes their lives so difficult, and the change is harrowing. So in this chapter, it's the realization that change is always clearing the way for something greater to be born. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the evolutionary history of our species or of life itself, you see this happening time and again. If you look at the journey of your own life, my life, you see that the many changes brought forth something greater.
Oh, absolutely.
So why is it in our lives we would resist a friendly force called change?
Yes.
And yet, again, so often this book points out that we hang out in ego consciousness rather than higher self-consciousness. The ego is imbued with fear. The ego sees everything as a threat, even love.
Yes.
And so change is an opportunity. When we stand in the strength of who we really are, it can birth something.
Yeah, you know, as we were reading the book, George and I both, our first book together, our joint book was Say Yes to Change.
Oh, really?
And yes, and we both really love your articulation and your deepening of that concept. What you've just described is so empowering. It's
well, and I know you're also working with the phenomenon that many of us as either baby boomers or just pre-baby boomers are experiencing. That's that we're aging, and
yes,
that's a change.
That's a huge change.
But there are opportunities within that.
Oh,
as
yeah,
well.
Absolutely. And you know, we wish we had more time today. Which always to us means that we need to have another occasion to continue this conversation.
I'm up for it.
Great. We're loving it. But before we go, we wonder if you have just some final words that you'd like to impart to the audience,
listeners. I would say anchor yourself in your heart. Know that you are a spiritual being and you have resources and capacities that are so rich and so full. And embrace your world from that place. And as your heart stays open and you stand in that place, then you realize that life is so good and there's so many blessings available.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you.
So George and Sedina Cappanelli here. We've had the privilege and pleasure of talking to Dr. Roger Teel, Senior Minister and Spiritual Director at Mile High in Denver, author of This Life is Joy, Discovering the Spiritual Laws to Live More Powerfully, Lovingly, and Happily. Great book. Can't encourage you enough. Go out and buy
it. Go out and get
it. Keep it close. Read it often. It's loaded with heart-opening and inspiring information and stories. And if you haven't had the privilege of listening to Dr. Teel in person at Mile High, take advantage. Come to Denver. Spend some time here. If you want more information, go to www.milehighchurch.org. Dr. Teel, thank you. Really.
Thank you.
It's been
a privilege.
Much. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
All right, George, back here with yours truly, Alan, for a discussion of, I like that Roger Teal segment. I got a lot to say about it, but, you know, you can step in.
We always share so beautifully.
Yeah. I mean, I was inspired. Look, this instant is love. That was the chapter that really resonated with me. God is love is in the Bible. Okay. It brings up what is love. And, you know, it's multidimensional. There's so many different definitions from conditional to unconditional love. But along the way in the conversation, it got down to that we're made in the image of the divine. Mm-hmm. And when we hear that, and I did in my more immature spiritual days, I thought, well, you know, God's got a body and, you know, maybe he's got a long beard and long hair. But that definition was refined to describe infinite consciousness. And that I liked. And love is being aware of the infinite consciousness. I'm going to go over to you for a minute, but I want to come back. I need to speak about love and fear in my perceptions too.
I don't know whether there's going to be enough time to let you back, but we'll give it a shot.
Then I'll just continue. go on.
But no, a couple of things that Roger said that I think were so valuable. One, the idea of that separation is an illusion. The other thing that he talked about was that one of those circumstances, and folks who read the book will get the story, that it was a heartbreak that broke him open, you know, and that the breaking open was really an opening of the heart, again, back to this concept of love. And also he uses the phrase a lot that something within quickens, you know, and all of these things are signposts that lead us from fear to loving.
Yeah. You know? Well, signpost is great. Cosmic slaps is another definition I've given to things that happen that are untoward in our lives. But, you know, fear, like pain, is a teacher. It's telling us something. It's telling we're off a track. And if you want to choose love, which is kind of our theme, and how to go to that vibration. He said, maybe it's two poles. I don't know. Are they opposite each other? I don't know. Some say fear is a covering over love. Is love the one unified field of vibration that is always there? Fear contracts, expands, you know. Two acronyms I like to use, fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, that I learned when I walked on hot coals a few times, and love, law of vibrational energy, all related. So we're pulsating beings, and I think we can get into the field of that, and then we can be, what do you like? Do you like expansion? Do you like contraction?
Breakthrough or breakdown, right?
Breakthrough or breakdown.
So I'm glad you you caught the spirit of this book in the interview. It's great. Yeah. I hope our listeners do because it's worth reading.
And can I close with a Zen koan?
Sure.
Think about this. Love is just one no thought away. How about some music?
I think that'd be an excellent idea.
Here's Bob Simon.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob Simon.
You can find me in the silence I'll be breathing. It's the truest true in everything I believe in. Light dances before your eyes, a precious gift to be realized. It leaves you with an indescribable feeling that I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here.
Terrific. Terrific lyrics, beautiful music. So we'll hear a little more of him later. Time for You Gotta Be Kidding, that time when Alan and I look at some items in the news. Absurd, ridiculous, sometimes inspirational, sometimes uplifting. Today we want to focus, though, on back to this idea of what will you choose? Because it's that time that people have to start making choices. So we're going to cover some topics we think are really critical about what we choose. First one is money and politics. For me, there's no choice. We got to get it the heck out of politics. It's ruining democracy. It's corrupting individuals. And it's allowing those who have too much of it, to have too much influence over the majority of us.
Yeah, so just as a reminder to our listeners, Citizens United is the big one. And that's there are amendments being proposed. We just need to follow, get on a petition somewhere, and that needs to be overturned. That's the Supreme Court decision that allows all this money in politics. Of course, freedom of speech is on our list for today. I think the most current example is the Paris terrorist attacks on a satirical newspaper that sent up things. You know, if we can't have a sense of humor because everybody thinks they know God, they forgot love. God is love. So, you know, we need to be tolerant, and I think that we need to support freedom of speech.
And I also think that back to the first topic about money and politics, you know, the corruption of money and politics didn't begin with, with Supreme Court rulings, but it certainly has been terribly exaggerated. But in terms of freedom of speech, we have to remember that money is not speech.
Yeah, you know, let me add something about money and government too, okay, because there are some big budget items that the current Congress is going to eliminate. And just some quick facts here. This is from the January 5th edition of Nation magazine. 300,000 money cut from Pell Grants for low-income college students in the new Cromnibus spending bill. 60 million cut to the Environmental Protection Agency. 20% increase in funds for fossil fuel development from what the president requested. $93 million cut to the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program. $479 million allocation for fighter jets. $5 billion funds approved for fighting the Islamic State, and $5.4 billion funds approved for security at American embassies. What a waste of resources!
Yeah. So, also a thing we're going to have to choose about is the right and privilege of voting. We have to stop these fools in states and in our congressional halls who keep insisting we want to make the right to vote more difficult rather than easier. We ought to be encouraging people to vote so that we can finally demonstrate this really remarkable thing called democracy.
George, I don't like rules, okay? And I don't like forcing people to do something, but I think your voting should be required for you to have the other rights as a citizen of this country, whatever they may be, whether it's Social Security, Medicare, other benefits. So you must vote, but you can do it from your home, online. Make it easy.
So long as we don't have companies that put voting machines out there that manipulate the vote, But nonetheless, right and privilege of voting. And lastly, in our conversation, just a little bit, I think one of the things we have to choose is, are we going to demand that news become news again and that people who present it have credential and understanding and capability, or are we going to settle for this nonsense called opinion and entertainment, you know?
Yeah. And I'm going to throw another one into the mix, privatizing education. It's something I'm kind of hot on lately. The Progressive magazine did a whole, I think it was a December-January combined issue. Some of the stories in there are amazing. And we don't want to privatize education. We want to publicize education. It should offer different kinds of courses to people. A lot of the educational stuff is all about memorizing things. No, it's time to let education wake people up to who they are.
And as it is in so many civilized and intelligent countries in the world, education all the way through graduate school should be free, because we want a noble, enlightened, and educated nation.
And you know what? That means that all these clowns in power now will no longer be there. Here's some more Bob Sima.
It's the Buddha, the Mother Mary, and Holy Spirit. It's every book I read, the single thread that gets me clearing out of my head, ties my body to my soul, and I'm always near it. And I'm awake, I'm alive, I am. Thank you.
overdrive, stressed and tempted to throw the ride.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
Age Nation Radio.
George Capanelli and Alan Huttner back for part four of our program. Now let's listen to another instructive in live and aging.
You're prejudiced.
Yeah, I am. Well, you know.
It's okay. It's true. Yeah. It is true.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging Strategy is self-love. As we live on the high wire of these changing times, we can easily lose our balance. Who doesn't long for a dear and trusted friend to keep us feeling safe and hopeful? Well, there is an untainted spirit within us that waits for us to recognize it and to love it, and it is our perfect inner being. It has never been too fat or too thin, never overindulged in anything that would hurt us. It renews and revitalizes us and has the power to bring healing to every part of our being and give us a whole new purpose. If we don't tap into this inward friend, we are only operating on partial power. Oprah Winfrey said, if you feel incomplete, you alone must fill yourself with love in all your empty, shattered spaces. As children, many of us were taught that our value lies in what we do rather than who we are, so we reached outward to feel worthy. Our goal-oriented society reminds us to continue the addiction to our busyness as a means of looking productive, appearing successful, and maintaining the illusion of control. There is little value placed on inner peace and self-caring, and without it, we discover we have no room to rest. This constant doing leaves us feeling spiritually homeless. When we learn to go from the outside in to our hearts first, we are rewarded. When we touch into that alive and powerful friend and guide, there is safety and love that will fill us and heal those shattered spaces that Oprah is referring to. So try simple self-love connection every day. Take a few minutes each day to close your eyes. Breathe deeply into your heart area. Smile to your heart and feel it open with love. Feel gratitude well within your heart for all your blessings. And breathe in the beauty, wisdom, and expansiveness of who you are. Listen to your inner self and receive fully the love that is within you. When you open your eyes, see the beauty in all things, and listen for your guidance, know that this day you will be unafraid, that you will enjoy all that is in your world. Know that as you give to the world will give to you. Share your joy. And remember to include self-love in your Enlivened Aging Strategy backpack. And go to Enlivened Aging, AGEING.com for more. Many blessings.
Get the Bob in a minute, okay? And yeah. A little bit of his vocal, Put a Little Love in the World, which Sedina said, put a little love in your heart. It's the same thing, eh? And so let's see what George has to say about his commentary and where to put something where.
Yeah. So we've been talking about the fact that we're at a very challenging point in our history, not just as individuals, but as a collective. We've been talking about the fact that in the coming period, each of us will have to choose between breakdown or breakthrough. For me, this means that each of us will have to be willing to really see as well as to look, to open our ears and to hear, and our hearts to feel truth and to decide what we stand for, who we support, how these decisions will impact the quality of our own lives, the well-being of those we love, and the stability of our way of life going forward. And please understand, this choice will not be theoretical, not a choice we make in words and mental constructs that we can debate at our leisure. We're rapidly approaching a critical point where it's not just a political tug of war between an elephant and a donkey. It's not just a matter of which political party will have a little more influence for a little period of time before the other one takes their turn at bat. As a nation, we are engaged in a deep and fundamental struggle for the very heart and soul, for the resources and well-being of this nation. This choice, then, is about whether this great and noble experiment in democracy, one that has thus far endured almost 250 years and been the envy, a beacon of hope and possibility for people around the world, one that until recently in our history has been a symbol of decency, a purveyor of compassion and support, a champion of human rights, a defender of the rights of others to speak their truth, to participate equally in the democratic process, and to live lives of decency and opportunity, whether this experiment will survive. So this choice point we're talking about is no small thing. It will determine the path we will take going forward. Will it be a path of responsibility, integrity, honor, and dignity, a path on which we turn our focus once again to support the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Not small questions, are they? So I ask you, what have you been doing, are you doing, will you do to better understand the choice that's yours to make? What are you prepared to do in the time ahead to listen not just to the rhetoric and promises, but to the truth that only hearts can measure? Are you ready to acknowledge the truth of what's going on in America today? And please know that each and every one of us have the time, resources, and power to make a difference. There are so many ways in which we exercise our choice and come fully in support of breakthrough rather than allowing others to lead us along this treacherous path to breakdown. Each day, in the quiet of your heart, pray for guidance. Each day, we can envision a future far more consequential, sane, and sustainable than the present. We can envision a nation that once again offers the opportunity for prosperity for all, a nation that demonstrates compassion, support, and encouragement to all, a nation that truly leads the world not with weapons but with wisdom, not with manipulation, but by example. We can envision a world where we use our astounding wealth wisely and for the greater good. Yes, there are many things each of us can do each day, not on some giant national stage, but in our own individual lives. We can vote with our attention. We can vote with our money. We can vote with our hearts. And most importantly, we can stay informed on what's going on. Yes, we have a lot we can do each day to determine our choice to become champions of breakthrough. I think it's time, do you? Time we take our lives and our nation back. Time to live the lives we were born to do, authentic, original, joy-filled, and conscious lives.
All right. I loved what you said about healing the soul of America in there, you know. And there's a book by that title, and I'm going to give it a plug right now, by Marianne Williamson, who is a famous love advocate. And Choose Only Love, one of her best books. But Healing the Soul of America has some really good stuff in it.
So, yes, it does. Know.
And next week, well, another deeper look at things that support you in living in love, in living the life you were born to live. Second part of, well, I don't know, we've got a little surprise coming up for you. Maybe, I don't know, Care of the Soul guy?
Yeah, maybe Thomas Moore, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a new book that just came out in paperback. So maybe Thomas Moore next week. And so, that's it.
Yep. Take some time. Go to NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Learn about the great things upcoming in Denver at Mile High, in Seattle, in Tucson, in San Diego. Great stuff. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Many, many blessings.
All right, here's that Sema guy.
The trees, the serenade that drops you to your knees.
sparkle of the smile, the honesty in the eye, the bravest bloom reaching for the winter sky. It's the racing of your heart.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.